This is Friday, the 25th of June. We're studying in Malachi, chapter 2. Name is Arthur Eggers. I'll just begin by reading. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. And this was their problem, is they would not lay the word to their heart. And their job was to teach people the right way to worship God. But they were teaching people the wrong way to worship God. Where God wasn't getting the glory, the priest was getting all the glory out of what was being done. And we have the same condition today. He wants ministers today to take the word of God to heart and know how just important the word of God really is. And it's the most important thing in this whole world. And God will bless those that bless his word, and he will curse those that curse his word. Just as simple as that. In verse 3, behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. And this is a description of the curse. There will be losses of life. The phrase spread dung means to bring shame. That would show in their face. Those that would offer the sacrifices, they knew what it was to have what to do with the dung of the sacrifices. But when the sacrifices was done in insincerity, it would bring humiliation upon them. And this was to burn, the dung of the sacrifice was to be burned without the camp, with the sin offering and the red heifer sacrifice. And I think it says, you shall take away as dung would be burned, and you will be taken away with it. So the thought here is that you're going to suffer the same consequences as the dung of the sacrifice would be. Verses 4 through 6. You shall not know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant, I'm sorry, I read that wrong. You shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and of peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feareth me, and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, the iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many way away from iniquity. So the reason that God chose the Levites, list here three different reasons that he chose them. But the first one is a covenant is of life and peace. And the second one is that they were afraid before my name. The third one is truth was in his mouth. And this was not just to Levi alone, but to all of his descendants. In Numbers 25, verses 11 through 13, Phinehas, and he was a wonderful man, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even a covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. Phinehas, the children of Israel, had started worshiping the gods of Moab, and he saw two of them together, and he just went in and slew both of them, the children of Israel and the daughters of Moab. And she was a princely line, she was a princess. And God honored this, his zeal. And he expects zeal to be among God's people today. And he called, because of this, he gave them an everlasting priesthood throughout their generation. Phinehas referenced the Lord's name, and God honored this fact. And they had this, but they didn't honor the Lord's name in Malachi's time. So verse 7, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. And oh, what a job this is. What a position of honor the priest should have. But they wouldn't take that, so they will go into a place of dishonor, because they refuse to take the honor that God had given them. And this is what a priest should be before God even today. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge. Then the second thing we read here, that they should seek the law of his mouth. And we say, why? Well, because he's the messenger of the Lord of hosts, and so should be the priest at all times. Verse 8, but you are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. So you're departed out of the way, and this is God's way that they departed from. And today we would call the way Jesus, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So when people depart from giving Christ all the honor, then there's going to be some judgment there too. The second thing that we read here is, you have caused many to stumble at the law. When Jesus was talking to the law lawyers in Luke 11, I'm going to read verse 45 and 46 of Luke 11. Then answered one of the lawyers, said unto him, Master, thus saying thou reproach us also? And he said, woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for ye laden men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burden with one of your fingers. That's quite an accusation. He talked to these leaders of his day. Then in Matthew 23, verses 4 and 5, says, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne. They lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all of their works that they do for to be seen of men, they make broad their scapulars and enlarge the borders of their garment. Galatians 6, 12 and 13. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, not only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. And we have this same thought today. All right, the third thing in verse 8, is you have corrupted the covenant of Levi. These were representatives of God, and God has represented today. They have done this, that are doing the same thing. This was something God gave special to the priests. The ministers today should be priests, have a priestly ministry before the Lord. I think things are really worse as the time draws toward the end of the age. But I thought about a verse in Nehemiah that was, I thought, was fitting along this line of the compromise that is made. And it says, and one of the sons of Joiada, the son of Eliashib, a high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat the Horite. Now think of the closeness there. They were not to marry these people at all, but they did. They join hand in hand. And Paul tells us to not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship is light with darkness? And what concord is Christ with Baal? And so forth. Under there. But Nehemiah said, and I always smile at this, he said, therefore I chased him from me. I just chased him from me. I wouldn't have anything to do with him whatsoever. All right, verse 9. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. So the covenant was kind of two-sided here, wasn't it? You keep my word, and I'll bless you. And if you don't keep my word, if they didn't do this, their part with God was then, God wasn't obligated. If they didn't keep their part of the contract, then God wasn't obligated to keep his part. So because of this, God made them contemptible, because they couldn't keep their part. He made them low before the people, to where they had no respect whatsoever. How much have they kept God's ways? Well, not very much, is it? That's the amount that we keep God's ways is the amount of respect that we have to him. If we don't walk in God's ways, it's simply saying that we don't respect him as the Almighty God, the Creator. Our respect just goes down. The word partial in this verse means face as though to favor someone. And I think the thought is you have to have favor. You have to favor people rather than the law of God. And what's more important to favor, people or God's law? All right, verse 10 and down through 12, I think we'll read. Have we not all one Father? Have not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughters of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacle of David, to him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. So here the indictment against them is simply this. The first part is they didn't recognize the unity of God. And we have the same thing in the church today, that they don't do, they don't recognize God's oneness and that we're one with him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, we'll read verses 5 and 6 in that chapter. For though there be that are called gods, whether heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, and in whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we in him. There's just one God and one family, one body. But if people are not in that body, then they're not of him. Another verse that we could read in Ephesians 4, I'm going to read verses 4 through 6. There is one body, one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Then God gives them a question that needs to be answered in this. Hath we not one Creator? Why do we treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our father? Why do we do this? And in 1 Corinthians 2, it gives us an answer to this question. Verse 14. But the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can they know them, because they are spiritually discerned. To deal treacherously is that of the flesh, it's of the old creation, the old man, and they need to be born again. They need to be born with the mind of Christ in order to understand the oneness and what God is doing. Then in verse 11, the second part of this tells us how they profane the covenant. They simply married the daughters of strange gods. And God told them definitely give definite instructions concerning this in Numbers 25, verse 1 and 2. It says, and Israel abode in Shechem, and the people began to commit a whoredom with the daughters of Moab, and they called the people unto the sacrifice of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down with their gods. Now this is called an abomination and profane the holiness of God. And again, we talk about divine separation from unbelievers. And even people that are born again that won't believe the truth and won't take a stand for the things of the Lord, God calls a separation. It's one thing in learning, in fellowshipping with people, and another thing in being a testimony to people. Doesn't mean we completely shun them and won't even speak to them. But it's another thing in running around with them and doing their thing like they do. Then in verse 12, we read of these false priests that are called, notice what they're called, the master and the scholar. Now they should be called of God to preach truth as was revealed to them. They had a master's degree and a scholar's degree is what they would call them today, wouldn't it? Isaiah was an example of God's man, the type of Christ. In Isaiah 50, verses 4 and 5, let's read that. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He waketh morning by morning, he waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. Now here's God's scholar, one that'll listen to the voice of the Lord, that'll wake up in the morning and hear God's word. And then in verse 5, Isaiah said, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Let God speak and be obedient to what he tells us to do. God will judge such a man, no matter how important they might think they are, even if they think they are a master and a scholar. God's going to judge them. Teacher and the one learning. The priest was to teach people, especially young people that were coming on, especially young priests that were coming on too, so that they could offer an offering, sacrifice unto the Lord, as God would want it done. Not as the flesh would think it ought to be done, but as God would want it done. So the priest's job was to not just to teach the priest, but to all of them. Out of the tabernacle of David, read. Verse 13, and this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears and weeping and crying out, insomuch as ye regard not the offering anymore, or receive it with good will at your hand. Now refer to this, is the reference to this, I should say, is in Deuteronomy 15, verse 9. It says, wherefore, that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year in the year released is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not. And he cry unto the Lord against me, and it be sin unto thee. So when the people were treated wrongly by the leaders, they could come to the altar and cry against them, and God would hear. Even when they weren't being done wrong, though, they could come and cry unto the Lord, and God would be there to hear them. Such as we have in Hannah, in his life, in 1 Samuel 1, 9, we read that Hannah was bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept sore. And Eli was standing there and he was very little help, was he? He thought that she was drunk. And how many of God's people today that are no help at all? Not was this done once, but again. And another reference is in Ezra chapter 9. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2 on that. Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the land, doing according to their abomination, even of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Moabites and the Egyptians and the Amorites. For they have taken their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed had mingled themselves with the people of the land. Yea, the hand of the princes and the rulers have been chief, number one, in this trespass. Then over 20 years later, they hadn't changed at all, because Nehemiah writes in the 13th chapter of Nehemiah, verses 23 and 24, that they had the same condition. He said, in those days I saw the Jews that had married wives of Ashdod and Ammon and Moab, and their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak the Jews' language, but according to the language of the people. And you think about this, how many of God's people today can't talk spiritually? You try to talk to them about the Bible and they don't know what you're talking about. It's like talking a foreign language to them. And yet, they've been born into a good family and their parents haven't taught them the truth, and they've never learned. And they might have got saved, but they never learned the language of God. Verse 14 and 15. Yet you say, wherefore, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth against them, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant, and did not he make one, yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. So the Lord himself here is a witness against them of their unfaithfulness to their wives. Then the question that we read is, did not he make one, that is, as a nation? And the answer to that is yes, he did. God had separated his nation Israel from all the other nations and set them aside, that they would be of an excellent spirit and produce godly seed. Now because of this, he says here, you take heed to your spirit. You take heed to your spirit and not do against your wives like you've been doing, which they would leave their Hebrew wives and go marry an Ashdod wife because she was young and pretty. And this was actually hideous in the sight of God. The purpose was that he might seek goodly seed. And God not only honors marriage, but also the example was that he would be their faithful husband and produce seed from him. Therefore, the actions were an abomination to God. 16 and 17. Is if I can turn the page. For the Lord the God of Israel saith that he hateth pulling away, for one coveteth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit. That's an interesting thought. Take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Or, where is the God of judgment? So God hates even the thought of putting away, or the thought of divorcement. Now, Jesus was asked concerning this in the 19th chapter of Matthew, verses 3 through 9, but I'm just going to read verse 8 and 9 of this. But it was asked about divorces and how Moses had given them a right of divorcement. And Jesus says, because of the hardness of your heart, God suffered you to put away your wives. In other words, they were so hard-hearted they'd get rid of their wives so that they could marry somebody else, even so far as to kill them. And this is a hard heart. So Moses gave them a permission to divorce and save the lives of the wives. But Jesus said, I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for a fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her which he put away, does commit adultery. And so this act is called the violence of putting away their wives, in which they tried to cover with Moses, like the Pharisees at Jesus' time tried to cover things. Again, God repeats, take heed to your spirit. You could preach a sermon on that sometime. Take heed to your spirit. The spirit talks to us and people won't listen. Their words are very weary to the Lord. They act as if they were ignorant that they had wearied him. Where are we wearied thee? And the words that they spoke with, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord. And this was a downright lie. God did not delight in those that do evil. And the natural man is conniving. That might be a good word. But he can convince people right is wrong and wrong is right many times. Will not God judge it? Yes, he surely will. God don't put away, people don't put away their wives for any reason. They might take just because they want to take another. These last words that we have here, you have wearied the Lord with your words. And they say, how have we wearied the Lord with our words? How have we done this? And God's answer was, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delights in them. Did they do this verbally, or was it just in their heart? I think they did it verbally. Isaiah said in the 5th chapter of Isaiah, verse 20, he said, warn to them that call evil good and good evil, but put that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And these are those that we find also in Romans 1:28, same class of people. But then the next question we have is, where is the God of judgment? Where is he? And the answer to that is in chapter 3. But for us, we read in 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that God knows. You believe that? That God knows. And let every man that nameth the name of Christ before depart from iniquity. We name Christ, God wants separation from the heathens of this world. And anyone that don't know Christ is a heathen, and many of Christ's people are acting like heathens. And it's sometimes it's very difficult to tell the difference between a heathen and one that just simply acts like one.